Guide us by your Spirit in your word this morning and help us live out what we hear from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, the Lord's Prayer. Once again, as we've said before, this Lord's Prayer that you, many of you, most of you have prayed as kids in school, younger kids not, but it's not a formula. It's not a magical formula. It's a framework that Jesus put forward in response to his disciples that asked the question, Jesus, teach us to pray. You ever felt, how do I pray? I have. Or how do I pray in this situation? Or just generally, for some of you, this idea that you can actually, like, okay, I think most of us know we can talk to God. It's just, it can be kind of a trite phrase, talk to God, prayer, whatever. But that God, a loving Father, actually hears you. And you can dialogue with God. Talk to him and hear back. Primarily through his word, through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a growth curve that most of us, all of us, if we're honest, probably are on to one degree or another. God, teach me to pray. Draw me to prayer. Cause me to be someone who, like Michaela, would be sensitive to your prompting and sensitive to people with your love so that I would pause and offer right there and then to pray. It's easy to say, I'll be praying for you, bye. That's too easy. We can do that. We should do that. And when we say it, we need to follow through, of course. But those moments, those divine moments of prayer. Yeah, prayer is a learning curve. So if you missed the previous week in this prayer teaching, I really encourage you to catch up and stay on track. Listening online, we are working toward getting the messages podcast, so you can watch for that. But you can download it and listen, or listen right off the computer at the church website. I encourage you to do that, just to keep on track together as a church body, as God leads us as a body in the teaching of his word. So in this instructive prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus has referenced our Father. He's referenced his kingdom. He's referenced his will. And now he turns to our practical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow, the impact of that. I just felt it. It's powerful. Powerful. The loaf is a little droopy, but it's the biggest loaf that Sobeys could get me. Oops, I just touched it. My plan is, see that table over there after? Miriam's going to take this and cut it up, and there's butter, and you, if you're not a germaphobe, have at her, okay? That's what we're going to do. Give us this day our daily bread. Heavenly Father, give us this day what I have need of. And you know exactly what that is. So here again is an expression of trust in an all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful God who through Jesus and his work on the cross is our Heavenly Father, as Pastor Joel unpacked for us 2 weeks ago and brought our attention to the word our. It's individual, me and God, yes, but very much community. It's Jesus' intentional words. Christian life, the Christian walk is intended by God to be done in community. Way to go for being here. Way to go for being in a small group. Way to go for picking up the phone and initiating contact with someone that you haven't seen in the gathering for a while. Way to go. It's community life. Way to go for praying for one another. In structured church prayer times like we're having tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday, or in a spontaneous email to say to somebody, because they've come to your mind, maybe there's a reason. Maybe the Holy Spirit brought them to my mind. And so I'm going to pray for them right now. God, you know their need. Meet the need. Help them to lean on you. Encourage them to whatever, however the Lord leads you to pray. And then you send an email to let them know. Encourage the body. Our Father, We're in community. You need to let that truth sink in right there. To be able to come to a loving Father and say, I have a need. We have a need. We humbly ask you to provide. And as we ask, 1 John 5, as we ask in accordance with his divine will, he will respond. How many of you parents can say that your children have taught you something about your relationship with God? How many of you? Honestly, how many of you would say something they've done or said or challenged me on? I hated that. Still do. No, I'm just kidding. It's true. And Jesus talked about children to illustrate how we should trust him. Many years ago, I think it was we were living in Winnipeg. I don't remember the issue of concern, but I literally wrote down what one of our kids said to Miriam when Miriam encouraged them. Don't worry about it, Mom said. And one of our kids replied, I don't worry about it. I put it in God's hands. Just matter of fact. Wow. Good. Good. I should do that more. God knows our every need, so we can put it in his hands, whatever it is. In Matthew 15, we see the power of God displayed as Jesus heals many people who were brought to him by his grace and by his power. And he can do the same thing today. And if that's your need, we're going to pray about that at the end. But then Jesus transitions to another type of physical need that he addresses because he cares about people, all aspects of our lives. Matthew 15, 32, many of you know the story. Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Talk about focus. Huh? And I do not, Jesus says, I do not want to send them away. They have to journey home, who knows how far. I don't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And so we know the story. Jesus multiplied a small lunch, and he fed a crowd of, the Bible says, it was a crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and children. In verse 30, a huge crowd with a small lunch. The miracle-working power of Jesus Christ to provide the need that was there. That's cool. God sees your need. Please believe that. God cares about every physical need that you have today, every need that you have. He's able to meet that need. I might just repeat that a few times through the morning. I'm just warning you. God is able. There's an Old Testament name for God, Jehovah Jireh. It's one of the many names of God in the Old Testament. It means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. I'm not going to break out into a 70s worship song. I'm just not. Some of you are going, what is that? I came to Christ 2 years ago. I'll play it for you. I'll have Jackie play it for you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. In Genesis 22, 14, Abraham gave that name to the place in Moriah where God provided the ram to be sacrificed in place of his son Isaac. You remember the story, many of you. Provision. That's provision. And so daily bread, as it represents all food, which it does and beyond, but as it represents all food, again, which it does give us this day what we need, provide financially, what have you. We're trusting him. You might feel like you've got the best job, the most secure job. You still need to be praying. God, this all comes from you, and I trust you every day to provide, right? And many of you, you pray that. As far as it represents food, our prayer is even for the farmers. Our prayer is for the places where there are famines. What do you do when you're watching TV, you're watching the news, and there's a farmer on there talking about waiting for rain, and they're walking through the dry field, and you know, the farmer's just a little bit challenged in the stress level, and what do you do? Do we say, ah, they're always complaining? Or in that moment, do you as a Christian pause to pray for them and to ask God, the giver of all things, to send rain to that man's field? Hopefully we do that. What do you do when you see news about famine in various countries? Our immediate default as Christ followers should be to pray and approach God's throne on their behalf. God's throne of grace and provision. And pray on behalf of people in those lands that their stomachs will be filled. You might want to, just a thought, side-gated thought to quote Pastor Crystal. You might want to reconsider praying that if you're not giving in some way to help meet the need first. World Vision, Child Care Plus through the PAOC, sponsor a child. I personally believe every Canadian family, we are in a resource country. We are a resource people among this small percentage of the world. Every Canadian family, Christian or not, should have at least one sponsored child. Just a personal expression that I decided to make this morning. We pray that people in various lands have their stomachs filled, but together with that is the even more important need of having their hearts regenerated by the power of the cross, the power of the forgiveness of Jesus applied to their lives by their own expression of personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray that. I hope the news that we watch that these days is so crazily, can't even describe it. I hope that we pray as we watch the news. Because if we don't, boy, it can be depressing. It's bad enough as it is, isn't it? Let's go to the New Testament epistle, which is another word, a fancy word for letter. A letter from the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, the context there in Philippians 4 is a discussion about generosity that Paul had with the Christians in the city of Philippi. And you've got to read the whole paragraph and not just pluck out verse 19. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know Philippians 4:19. If you're not thinking of it right now, when I start to say it in a moment, you will. But in a moment, we'll touch on a key thought Paul mentions in this section. And Paul is commending them, the Christians in Philippi, for their generosity in giving to his needs as he traveled and shared the gospel in various places. And we get to Philippians 4:19, and he expresses confidence in God on their behalf and says, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God will supply all of your need. See, Paul had experienced provision and financial care from the church family in Philippi. And so then the evangelistic mission and outreach had advanced because of their giving. And so now Paul says with confidence, your needs will be met by God's provision. See, we cannot miss the connection here. And it's, what's it say? It's according to his riches. That's how our needs are met. According to his riches. Not even out of. Out of would maybe imply that there's a depletion of the resources. There's never a depletion of the resources when we're talking about the riches of God in Christ Jesus. They simply never run out. They never even run low. Now, God's expectation of us is that we be good stewards and managers of what he provides for us. Miriam and I, over the years, have had the commitment to say that in addition to gradually growing our regular tithing to our local church and giving, anytime we get a lump sum unexpectedly or an income tax return, or our first question is, and please, you know my heart, those of you that know me, I believe that this is not to blow our own horn. Many of you do this, I know, as well. For others of you, these will be, I'm just sharing them because I think they're helpful spiritual growth questions that you may want to consider incorporating in your spiritual discipline and practice of giving and moving toward godly generosity. God is the most generous person ever, and we want to be like him, right? So questions to ask in those times when there's an unexpected influx of finances. God, we ask, God, how do you want us to use this unexpected blessing to bless others? Who do you want us, God, to give to in order to encourage them? Or the question, is there a need we're not aware of, but that you want us to know about and participate in? You can show us. You can orchestrate it so we find out about that need. You see, giving is God's nature. And so when he gives to us, as he always and faithfully does, he calls us to do the same, to grow in becoming like him in this area. It's really part of the discipleship process. It really is. The word give reminds us that it's really not ours. All we receive from his loving hand is still his. James 1:17, every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Last Sunday, I referenced a message that Charles Price preached at People's Church in Toronto some time ago. And in that same message, he pointed out that this verse in the Lord's Prayer doesn't say, give me today my monthly supply, does it? Give me today my month. No, there is something here that God wants us to learn about trusting him. How often? Thank you. Daily. Daily for what we need. Moment by moment even. Not that we don't plan wisely for the future. That's not what I'm saying. But daily trust. And when we ask in prayer for God to meet our needs, there's no greed involved, right? We got to keep our heart clear from that. You see, there's a very important characteristic of the Christian life that Jesus intends for us to live out. It's something that we struggle with in our materialistic culture here in North America. You know what it is? Contentment. That's a whole message in and of itself. But just briefly, I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul speaking to his young protege, if you will, young pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul says to him, true godliness, you want to be godly? You want to really be godly? True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Did you hear that? True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Putting the prayer for God to provide our needs together with the biblical teaching about contentment leads us to a prayer that is void of any hint of greed or misaligned priorities. God, I just need that larger RV because we are suffering in this tent trailer. Well... not that you shouldn't make that purchase, but does it captivate your heart? And does it impede your ability to be generous if you take those types of financial steps? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Those are questions you have to assess prayerfully. And those are problems God would want you to address, actually. You've got to hear this whole passage from 1 Timothy 6. True godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out of it. We can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Contentment. What a challenge. And for time's sake, I won't read the whole passage there. You can look it up. You can get these slides on the website this week. Paul, throughout his life, knew a variety of financial circumstances. Paul expressed times of living in plenty and times living with very little. Neither of those financial circumstances had a bearing on whether he would serve God or not. Neither of those financial circumstances had a bearing on his trust quotient. Because he learned, he said, to be content in relationship with God in any material situation. Wow, is that something that we can learn in this culture? And here it is from Paul's story, his own testimony, Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Before that key verse that we know, verse 19, he says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Now, if we had a choice, I mean, come on. But But Paul's just saying, I have learned, he says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then here's a verse that is applied in secondary applications so often. And many of you will know it when I say it. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's secondary applications to that verse, of course. But does it mean I can jump, leap over tall buildings? No. Can I accomplish things with God's help and wisdom and direction that I wouldn't otherwise? Yes. But do you see the context that Paul says this sentence in? It's in the context of learning to be content, of learning to live in with plenty or little. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength to be content. Park on this verse. Park on this verse. Verse 19, come along, Manfred. Learning that God is able to provide. I asked Manfred to share a little bit in the middle of my message. And I hope he'll let me back up here.
Thank you. Good morning. I was born 1944 in Austria, and we lived in a refugee camp simply because my mother was Jewish and they lost everything. Most of my relatives we lost in concentration camp. And I lived because I was close. I was blonde and blue-eyed at that time, and curly hair, and that's why I lived. It was very, very hard. It was cold in the winter, minus 35. We lived in barracks, and the piddly pot froze under the bed, one bedroom, and it was pretty rough. We were always hungry. In the summer, I went to school from April till November barefoot because we couldn't have any shoes. I spent a lot of time in the forest eating mushrooms, wild onions. We picked up the dandelions and made salad of it, and with the yellow flour, we cooked it, sugar and other stuff in it was our marmalade. We picked up roots to help, and then my job was, with 5 years old, to collect wood and to chop it off so we have something in the winter for heating. When I was 6 years old, I started picking up tennis balls to make a little bit of money. My mother died when I was 12 years old. I then came to Germany in an orphanage, 300 boys. It was pretty rough. At 13 years old, I started to work as an apprentice. And by 16, I had my trades paper. And that orphanage, it was pretty brutal. So I did a lot of reading, day and night sometimes, and I always went in the forest or up on the autobahn, and I looked down. The cars were coming by and say, someday I'll be driving all over. 64, in 1958, it was the Hungarian Revolution, and all of those came to Austria, and they lived in barracks, and in the barracks they showed world maps. And I just fell in love with Canada. So 12 years old, I wanted to come to Canada. When I was 20, I came. A week later, I met my wife. And 2 weeks after that, I said, that is the woman that I want to marry. I had a picture, blonde, blue-eyed, curly, and that's exactly what I found. But I wasn't a Christian. She led me to Christ. And in the same year, I met her in June, we got married in November. And a whole new world opened up for me. I made $1.46 an hour. You can't go too far. But we managed, with God's grace, sometimes 2 pennies we put together. And then she said, we have to tithe. I said, where is that? Well, she showed me in the Bible where that is, and that's what I had to do. And then, of course, the following year, I bought my first Mercedes. What do you know? I got laid off as a toolmaker, and then I had to start selling. And I have been a salesman ever since. I won trips all over the world. And I find God provides. God always provides if we ask. And whenever I go on trip, like last week, I ask God to give me a chance to be a witness to someone. And I had to go to Las Vegas to the trade show. And I went in, there are 25,000 people walking through and about 3,000 suppliers that show us what they have. And I went up to one guy, looked at him. I said, "You must be Jewish." He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, our prime minister is the only one in the world that respects Israel and stands up for him. Because in your book, it says, he who blesses a Jew is blessed, and he who curses one is cursed." And I said to him, "I'll bless you." He just grabbed my arm and cried and said, "Tell me more." So I had my chance to be a witness.
Thank you, Manfred, for sharing today. Those are snippets of a story, and we all have a story, don't we, of God's provision if we've dialed into it at all. I mean, and if we followed Christ for any length of time, and if you want to hear more of his fascinating story, you can certainly chat with him. Malcolm, would you come? We're going to just sit and listen to scripture from Matthew chapter 6. That is some very pertinent scripture passages today that I've asked Malcolm to read for us. So open your heart to God's word.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass on the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks for reading scripture for us, Malcolm. Powerful words of Jesus. Matthew 6, you might want to park there for a while and just prayerfully meditate on the assuring words of Jesus that he will provide. Isn't it interesting, Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? And Jesus said, Why do you so often, and I hear him saying it to me sometimes, why do you often add to that your own worry? There's no need. There's no need. I'm here. Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father will provide. And we just need not add the fruitless characteristic of worry about money or about anything in life, because in our lives he's promised his care, his unconditional love, his amazing wisdom from his word, his miraculous power to break in and provide, his gift of peace, so trouble doesn't have to scare us or immobilize us. Low oil prices do not have to make us, you know, we don't have to freak out because of that. It's very cool. Let me add a sidebar thought, and Manfred, you mentioned something about tithing. If I'm not trusting God's provision by giving proportionately of my income that he has blessed me to earn to his cause through the local church, I'm not sure the prayer, and this is just me, it's probably just me, I'm not sure the prayer, God provide my needs, is a prayer personally I'd be comfortable praying. Food for thought. And no, God's bigger than me, so that's just a reflection that makes sense to me. And giving financially to God actually is the one thing in Scripture that God says, test me on it. Malachi 3, test me. That's cool. I'm going to use, as we close, three theological terms to describe God. And theological terms, though they may be foreign words, are not dry. Theology is not dry. You know why? Because it's a study of God. And God is our loving, all-powerful, heavenly Father. Right? So, you don't have to remember these terms. Some of you know them. I know that. But I want you to be mindful of what they mean and take away a takeaway scripture this morning for each of these three. And again, these will be on the website, these slides, or you can jot them down. I encourage you to do that. Our Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. What kind of Heavenly Father are we praying to? Well, our Heavenly Father, first of all, is omniscient. Omniscient. Simply means He knows everything. Ins and outs, that which is on the surface, that is hidden below, the end from the big picture, that He knows, He's omniscient, He knows everything. Psalm 46:1. We often quote this when we're in trouble, and we focus on the help part of this very brief scripture verse. Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. It's Matthew. Let's go back. Sorry about that. Matthew 6:8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Why ask Him? Well, it's in the asking that our hearts are helped along in the direction of trusting Him. It's in the asking that we can articulate and express our needs in prayer. And prayer is the relationship, and it is fostered and cultivated. Even though God already knows, He's omniscient, He knows everything. He knows what those needs are of mine. It's more about us growing in the awareness of our own insufficiency, to let pride be taken care of, right? And growing in our understanding and appreciation of our need of total dependence on God and our awareness of His ultimate care for us. That's why we articulate those needs that He already knows. Builds our faith, builds our relationship with God. Secondly, our Father, Heavenly Father, is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere by His Spirit. Psalm 46:1, here we go. We often focus on the help in trouble part of this brief verse. He is a very present help in trouble. He is a very present. You can't get more present. He's here. He's there. He, as a Christ follower, by His Spirit, dwells within, the New Testament says. He's everywhere. He's always right with you. He's within you by His Spirit. Wow. Wow. Think about that in trouble. Think about that. The omnipresence of God, of a loving, caring, all-wise, all-powerful God. And then our Heavenly Father is, thirdly, omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He created everything we see and everything we don't see. He created the things that you can only see under a microscope. He created everything. It's phenomenal, creation is. He's omnipotent. He can do anything, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think, He can do. He's loving Heavenly Father, all-powerful God. My ECC family and guests here today, God sees your needs. He's able to meet your needs. Have you replaced your worry by a discussion in prayerful dialogue with your Heavenly Father? I hope some of that happens this morning as we close. One of very many stories of God's provision in our life as the Jenkins family. About 15 years ago, kids are young. We made a decision as a family, Miriam, stay home with the kids. And so financially, things were very tight. And with the help of my wife's loving encouragement, I grew in those times. I grew in trusting God. I'm thankful for that. And out of our prayer to our loving Heavenly Father came creative provision. Some cool things. Many over the years. One day a businessman came with a card. This card allowed me to go to a certain kind of industrial gas station on the south side. And We had free gas for a year because my loving Heavenly Father saw a need and he put my name on someone else's heart, and that person responded and provided a gift. That's the grace of God. And God has and will put you on someone else's mind to respond and share and intervene and help. And God will put somebody else on your heart for those reasons. So receive, but also be able and willing and available to be a part of the answer for someone else. That's a cool part of the equation too. But God's good. God is so good. Big loaf of bread here. This actually was Joel's idea. He's not here. He's on vacation. I'm still going to give him props. You can tell him. I'll get him. He'll listen to my message for sure. Bread. There's a book by Warren Wiersbe on the Lord's Prayer. He says, think of it. It requires the cooperation of our universe for us to have a piece of bread. The Lord launched planet Earth in just the right orbit around the sun, tilted it carefully, and gave it just the right atmosphere, soils, and amounts of sunlight to sustain human life as we know it. A loaf of bread begins with little seeds of wheat or some other grain that are planted and cultivated and at the right time harvested. The Lord sends the necessary sunshine and rain so that the seeds take root and grow. It requires a combination of the faithfulness and blessing of the Father, as well as the skills, hard work of the farmers, millers, and bakers to give us a loaf of bread. We hold in our hands. I'm not going to do it because you might eat it. We hold in our hands a miracle that too often we take for granted. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. And we're not going to elongate this morning. If you want to stay and pray till through to tonight, you're welcome to do that. But I want to call in these moments, to call you to prayer, to come and stand, and I'm going to lead in prayer, and we're going to believe God for whatever your need is this morning, financial, physical, relational, grieving. We're praying. Good to see you, Ian and Laurel, here this morning. We've been praying for you as a church and many of us individually. Ian lost his dad recently, and for Kathy Bowles, who also lost her dad recently, and for Viviana, who lost her husband. It's been a challenging, I can't wrap my head around it, a challenging journey for many in our church these days. And God cares about what you may put in categories of the big and the small needs. Our Heavenly Father cares about it all. And so I'm going to invite you just to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and I'm going to ask you to, there's a response slide here that I'm just encouraging you to utilize this. There's a Lord's Prayer card, and I think there's some at the information table. We've given them out. They might even be, I should have checked, in your bulletin today, I'm not sure, but on there, there's response to this little phrase, give us this day our daily bread, expressing dependence on God, asking God for wisdom in earning and managing finances and growing in generosity, committing all of the unknowns of our future to God, and commit to walk in trust of our loving Heavenly Father. If you've got a need, I want you to come. Come right now. Just step out. I want you to stand across the front here, and we're going to just close in prayer in just a moment. So come. Come. If you've got a need you want to give to God together this morning with your church family, I want you to come and stand here. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, God is looking down on you with a loving, compassionate heart, with all the wisdom, all the strength, all the power of the universe to be brought to bear in your situation, whatever it is. So I want you to just express your faith, not in me, not in the words of this prayer, but in the God of the universe who has invited us to come to him. So I want you guys, just if you can spread out a little bit, and I don't know if we'll have enough people that we did touch base with the prayer partners to come and just lay hands on you as a symbol of agreement in prayer today. I want you to come, but if you can spread out a little bit down in the ends, that would be great, just to allow people that are going to come behind you and just gently lay their hand on your shoulder as agreement in prayer. Other leaders, other ECCers, you believe in prayer, invite you to come and just find somebody. You don't have to know the person. God knows the person. But if you believe in prayer and you love God and love people, I don't know, I don't want to put guilt on you, but I'd love other ECCers behind these folks to be standing with them in prayer. There's power in agreement, and so we're doing that this morning in these moments. And if for whatever reason no one has come and laid their hands on you, just focus on the loving arms of God that are around you right now, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together, and I want you to just give that need to God, whatever it is. You begin to verbalize it. You begin to articulate it in faith to God right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you made a way for us to come to you in relationship and with our needs, with our lives, with our future, because of what Jesus did, because you sent your Son to the cross. And Jesus, because you came voluntarily, we have the opportunity to approach the throne of grace boldly, courageously, because of who you are. And in faith, we do that right now. And Lord, I join in prayer with every individual that has stepped forward this morning. And as a whole ECC family, we just pray together in these moments. We put our faith in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ and of a loving God on behalf of those who have stepped forward courageously and honestly before their church family this morning, saying, God, you know this need. I've prayed about this so many times, but here it is again. Or God, this situation is new and it's rattled me. It's shaken the foundation of my life. I'm giving it to you this morning. I'm exchanging the anxiety that I have for your peace, because I know you are able. You are able in this need to provide, and I trust you. God, may that be the expression of every one of our hearts, oh God. You know every need. Loving God, you know every need. Remind these individuals of your loving compassion, of your immense power, of your grace, of your wisdom. Remind them of that. Draw them to you and to your word in the days ahead that may be challenging for a while. And God, we thank you for your divine intervention in each heart, in each life, in each situation, represented by those standing up front today. We are just coming to you. That's what we're doing. We are surrendering to you. We are expressing our trust in you in these moments. And we give you thanks. Give you thanks. Worship team, lead us in that song right now. You can remain standing in prayer at the front if you wish. Thank you, Lord. The rest of you just sing together.